Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
But if you have your Bibles, go to Joshua chapter 3 this morning. I want to talk to you on the subject of experiencing God's blessing from our series from the book of Joshua. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but we have 76 days left in 2016. Isn't that awesome? Michael and Abby have a mere 26 days until they say, I do. Where are they at? Where are you guys at? I've lost them. Where are they at? Abby's right there. Are you ready, Abby? You're not ready? Okay, she's kind of going, no, I'm not ready, but so 26 days until their big wedding, and so just under, 80 days left in 2016. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you nailed your goals? If you are one of those people that, write out some goals at the beginning of the year, have you nailed those? Or have you forgotten about them? I know some of mine I've forgot. Some of them I'm still working on. Some of them I need about 30 more days added to that 74 to be able to accomplish them because of the numbers that are involved in those goals. But researchers estimate that 100 million Americans make New Year's resolutions of some sort. How many of those folks do you think accomplish those resolutions on the first try? Depending on what you read, some maximum number would be 40% of those. I think that's really high. But as we close in on the end of the year and look forward to a new one, we all have things that we're still working on trying to accomplish. Some of us, we really need to get amped up if you're big into that. Others of us, we're just like, hey, I'm going to just have a redo in 2017. I'm going to put the same thing down perhaps. But this morning isn't so much talking about 2016 goals as it is in realizing and being reminded that God has something new for you. And God wants to do something new in you. And so as we continue on in this Brave series this morning from the book of Joshua, we are seeing the children of Israel stepping into the new land, to the land that has been promised to them, which is going to bring a new day for them. And I want to suggest to you that God has things he wants to do in your life as well, new things. Several life groups from here at Life Point are involved in doing the study entitled If. It's by Mark Batterson in his book, self-titled If. And there's a passage of scripture that we looked at 2 weeks ago from that study from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, that's just been really resonating within me the last several weeks. And Lamentations 3:23 says this: your mercies are new every morning. Aren't you glad about that? But here's the deal, as you unpack that scripture, new doesn't mean just again and again. It's just not new as in it's here again, you have new mercy, here you go. It's new as in different, as in never experienced before. In other words, there is a strain of mercy available that you and I have never experienced before. Because here's the deal, your need for mercy and your issues and the problems that you are experiencing in life, the things that you're experiencing in life, require a new mercy because it's a new problem. It's something that you've never experienced before. It's a new day that you're experiencing. And because of that, it requires a new mercy. Because the mercy that, thank God for the mercy you experienced a month ago to walk through a situation was great and awesome, but it's a new day with a new situation. And so you need a new mercy. His mercies are new every morning. And if we're going to experience those new mercies God wants to do in our life, here's the reality of it. We all know it, that it really doesn't so much depend on God, but it depends on us, because God's faithful and steadfast. And so that is why when you come to Joshua chapter 3, it's really relevant for us, because when you come to this chapter, The nation of Israel is preparing to cross into the promised land, which God has promised for them. A new time and a new place in their history is right before them. It's a land that they've been promised for centuries now, and it's right there. It's a place that they could have entered 40 years sooner, but they didn't respond right. And think about how that might be true for you and I, that there's issues in our life that God has put before us in times past, and you didn't respond right to that opportunity, to those situations. And so you, like the children of Israel, found yourself wandering in the desert for a time. Have you ever been there? I know I have. Some of you sense Christ tugging at your heart in seasons and times in your life and calling you to himself, but you pushed him off, you pushed him away. You said, no, not now. I want to do it my way. I want to do it in my time. And now is not the time. And so you lived a certain way. You walked away from God, perhaps. You denied his place in your life, and you found yourself in a place where instead of receiving life, you were experiencing death. And in the process of that, you made decisions that weren't life-giving. And God is saying, now's the time for you to come back to me. If you remember, 40 years before Moses had sent out the 12 spies, as you look at this place in Joshua chapter 3, Moses had sent out spies to check out the promised land, and they came back after 40 days of looking at it, saying, man, the land is nice, it is really good, it is a land of milk and honey, but we have a problem that the armies are too big for us. We are like grasshoppers on a windshield on I-70. We're going to get smashed if we go there. It's too much, it's too fortified. And rather than trust God that this is going to be a new time and a new place for the nation of Israel, rather than trust God that they could be something through him and for that he would do something for them by his power, they said, God, we can't do it. And God's response was, okay, then have it your way. Because how many know God is not going to force his will upon you? The result of their decision was that they would live in the backside of the desert for 40 years until that generation that was defined by their unbelief died off. And that is what we have before us in Joshua chapter 3, this new generation, because it's a new day. And all that sets the stage for us. And what I want us to do this morning is just as this chapter unfolds for us, it really offers for us four phases. And I think each phase, in a lot of ways, and a lot of times, it is how God works in our life. As we face the opportunity for new times and new days, as we come to those junctures when God is going to do something new in our life, and do them in new ways and show us new things. Some of the elements that we need to incorporate into our life are found right here in Joshua chapter 3. And so the first phase that I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about is just this, a sense of desperation. Look at it in verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, and they camped before crossing over. And after 3 days, you pick up in verse 15. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge. So here you have 40 years. They have been waiting to go into the promised land, right? They've been on this journey. They've been wandering. They come. God says, hey, start moving out. Start getting ready. You're crossing over. And now God decides to do this right in the middle of flood season. God says it's time. And I'm like, really? In the midst of flood season, you're going to ask us to go across now? God brings them to the edge of the river. And what's he do? He leaves them there for 3 days. Not literally. He doesn't depart from them by any means, but he just says, just camp here. There is something interesting about that phrase, 3 days. We talked about it in our series back in August when we talked about the gap, and we'd seen it all a lot. We've seen that phrase, 3 days, a lot already, three chapters into Joshua. And as you look at it through the pages of Scripture, it's mentioned 58 times in the Bible. And oftentimes, you see 3 days, it has to do with God doing something new in people's lives. For example, Ezra fasted along the river for 3 days, and God spoke to him Paul after his Damascus Road experience in Acts chapter 9. Before he fasted for 3 days before he received his sight back and his call to ministry. And in Jonah, for 3 days, he spent in the belly of the whale. Jesus, 3 days in the heart of the earth. And we could look at several other examples, but 3 days is somewhat of this transitional period of time within the pages of Scripture. For 3 days, all right, get this, just pretend that you're in the camp with them. For 3 days, they're on the river. And they're watching the river that's swollen, it's rushing, it's over its banks, it's carrying stuff down, big logs are being carried down the river, you know, maybe there's a house going by down the river or whatever, just things are just being swept down the river, and they're there. They're watching this. They're keeping their kids away, perhaps. They're not letting their livestock getting too close. They throw the cats in the river, but everything else stays away. You're watching this knowing that you're supposed to cross it, right? The thought hits you, man, there's no boats, there's no bridges. How is this going to happen? All they see is this swollen, surging river running before them. Surely the thought hit him. Crossing this river is impossible. God has said, I'm going to give you the land. And their thought is, how are we going to get there? My question for you this morning, has God ever done that in your life? Has he ever parked you by the Jordan? And you're watching life and your situations and stuff just rushing by and you're going, how? How? Maybe it's an impossible marriage. Maybe it's an impossible financial situation, an impossible personal habit. And you would believe God for something better, but in and of yourselves, it is impossible for you to do it. You want to. If you could do it over, you would do it over. If you thought you could, you would. You would do it, but it's impossible. It's the Jordan River at flood stage, and you find yourselves there. Can I suggest to you this morning that being aware of the impossibility of a situation is a good place to be? Often, it's not until we weigh the difficulty of our situation and discover that we can't do it that we see God work. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I come across a situation or I'm experiencing a challenging opportunity to overcome. And one of the, if I'm not careful, one of the things that I will do is I will try to take that thing and figure it out myself. And try to wrestle through it in my own strength, in my own understanding, which is very, very limited. And the best thing in the world that you can that can happen in our life is to come to those moments of impossibility and say in our heart of hearts, this can't humanly be done. It's impossible. And you say, Steve, well, where's the faith in that? Can I just suggest to you this morning that faith doesn't ignore the problem? Faith doesn't ignore the diagnosis. Faith doesn't ignore the bank account. Faith looks at a problem, it sizes it up, and then concludes that I need God in this moment, in this situation. Without him, I'm in trouble. Without him, I am sunk. Without him, I'm swept downstream. Amen? God doesn't help the self-reliant. There is nowhere found in Scripture that says God helps those who helps themselves. There's an incredible Greek word for that, and it's called baloney. Right? Psalms 34:4, listen to the heart of the psalmist. He says this, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. The psalmist is acknowledging his situation. And the situation is greater than him. And so he sought the Lord, and the Lord proved himself faithful. They spent 3 days by the Jordan so that they could understand the impossibility of their situation. And then at that time, they developed an utter dependency upon God. Don't let past failures or human ability dictate your dependence on him. When God is going to do something great in our life, it's going to begin with a sense of dependence. Oh God, unless you help me. Oh God, unless you save me. Oh God, unless you step into this situation. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That leads us to the second thought this morning, or the second phase is this. It's a season of dedication. How many know it's not enough to say, well, I know that I can't do it. Yes, that may be true, that you can't do it, but how many know that doesn't resolve you from all responsibility? You still have a responsibility in this thing. I still have a responsibility in this thing. It's not like you just get to wash your hands of involvement once you realize you're in desperation. Look at it in verse 2. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do something, some amazing things among you. The season of dedication. If you're going to see God do what he wants to do in our life, we have to prepare. I want to submit to you this morning that preparation is an act of faith. If I could give you a scriptural illustration, 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16, we won't take time to go there, but it just talks about a drought going on in the land, and the prophet speaks to the people, listen, you need to go dig some ditches. And as you dig ditches, God will fill those ditches. And how many know there's preparation in digging ditches? And in our faith, there's preparation that we, you and I need to do. And if you really believe God is going to do something, you have to get ready for it. You getting your heart ready for God to move. God wants to move from the inside out. What good is it if God delivers you from your problem? Listen to me this morning. What good is it if God delivers you from your problem, but you still stay the same way? What good is that? What good is it if God heals you from a disease, but if you're a bitter person, you still stay a bitter person? What good is that? What does it accomplish? What good is it if God doesn't change the inside of you, but the outside situations change? What good is that? Maybe a temporary fix? Yeah, but man, if the inside has not been changed, then something is missing. While God cares about the problems around us, he cares much more about what's happening in us. If God is going to do something, you have to prepare, and that begins with the inside. No wonder we need new mercies every morning, amen? Our problems are different every morning. Our situations, not just problems, but just situations of life are different. And so as I've been thinking about this and praying about it this morning, I want to invite you to do something this week. I would like to call you. I would like to challenge us to prepare ourselves. This past season that we've been in, I mean, as we went through the summer, we saw God do incredible things. We saw God just saving people and intervening in situations and relationships. And we saw God just people coming to faith. And I look over at Bill, and Bill's heading up our van ministry that didn't exist through the summer. And on Wednesday nights now, they've been a couple times anyway that they've gone out having to take two routes, drop a load of kids off, go out and get another batch and bring them in. Kids are hearing the gospel. Kids are getting saved. Families are being touched. Think about just the growth of the church in number of different ways. And God is doing awesome things. We've seen the hand of the Lord in numerous ways and the favor of God in numerous ways. And I want to challenge you to prepare yourself for the next season, because the season that we have just been in is not going to be the season that we're going to stay in. What I want to challenge you to do is over the next 3 days, I want to invite you to fast. You're like, dude, I was with you until you said that F word. I'm with you. I don't like fasting, man. I was talking to a friend about it not too long ago, and he was like, yeah, I don't know anybody that does. And I was like, deep thought, but true thought. So for the next 3 days, this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I want to invite you to fast. If you've never fasted before, you're like, what's that? Fasting is where you set yourself apart, where you say, I'm going to remove myself from eating a meal or meals, several meals. Am I going to eat for 3 days? Maybe you're like, I don't know if I could do that. Then just take a meal a day and not eat. But during that time, set yourself apart, find a prayer closet, drive out in a field, get away from people or whatever, gather your family, just pray, worship the Lord, seek the face of the Lord, seek the favor of the Lord during that time. And then break that fast on Wednesday night when we come here and eat together for our Wednesday night meal. Or if you're not able to come Wednesday night, break it Wednesday night. And it's this cry, God, we need your help. I need to prepare myself for what you're wanting to do. The church is needing to prepare itself for what you're wanting to do in this church, because I can, you know, I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I would win this bet. God doesn't want this church to stay where it's at right now. There's people to reach. There's people that need the Jesus. There's people that need the body of Christ to come around them and to walk with him and to be the family of God to them. God doesn't want us to stay like this. Joshua told the people to consecrate themselves. It's what Moses told the people in Exodus chapter 19, to spend time preparing yourself because God wants to do something in them. And during that time of fasting, during the next 3 days, it's a time of inspection. Lord, examine my heart and my motives. God, if there's anything within me that's not like balancing out right with you, expose it to me, because I want to be upright and I want to be sensitive to you. And if there's any roadblocks, God, inspect me. Shine your light upon me. It's Psalms 51. Do Psalms 51 over me, Lord. And then it's pulling away from the ordinary routines of life. When we fast, it's, you know, and if you're like, medically, I can't do it. I can't fast all day, or I can't skip all three meals, and that's fine. But if you medically you can't fast, or if you've never done it before, and you're like, man, I don't know if I can. Then fast, maybe fast some meals, but then fast TV, fast some media. It would do wonders for many people if they would fast Facebook and social media. Their life would just be like, wow, there's people out there, right? Let the hunger, when you have those hunger pains, let them remind you that you're wanting to prepare your heart for what God wants to do in your life. Fasting draws our mind to him. In the midst of all the busyness and all the clutter of life, we can lose our sensitivity to the voice and to the presence of God, can't we? Man, it happens quick. Solomon said this, give me wisdom in a heart that is in tune to what you're saying. And during this season, during the next 3 days, that's what we're doing. How do you grow closer to God? Do you cultivate that spiritual awareness? Love God more than you love anything else. In verse 3, Joshua mentions the ark, that the ark represented the presence of God. And it's just an interesting side note to me. What was the instructions to the people of Israel? When you see the presence of God, what are they to do? Follow it. That's good advice, isn't it? Go where you sense he is going. Be where you sense that he is. Unless we have seasons of consecration and dedication, we will miss what God is doing. We will miss those opportunities. If we do, we'll know what God is wanting to do. Our rearview mirror, you know, if we don't set those times apart, and when we're looking and we're gazing upon him, you know what happens? We've said this before, but our rearview mirror becomes a lot bigger than our windshield. And we look back and we remember all that God used to do. And we're so busy looking back, we forget what God wants to do now. So we consecrate ourselves to him. It's interesting that they, we'll talk about this here in a moment. I won't get ahead of myself. But the most impressive thing that you and I can do is to be where God is moving. God doesn't lay out the full plan on how the conquest for the children of Israel is going to happen. But he does promise them this. I promise you this, I'll be in your presence. Even in the middle of the river, I'm going to be in your presence. God wanted every single person to be able to see the ark. It's interesting to me that he says, man, keep the ark 1,000 yards away from the people as they cross through the river. Why is that? I mean, you have a wall of water on one side, then you have the ark sitting over here. How many know if the ark was right in the middle of where they were passing, not everybody would be able to see the ark, which represented the presence of God. God wanted every single person walking through that river to be able to look to the left, yeah, they see the water, but if they look to the right, oh, there's the ark of the Lord. There's the presence of God. God is with me in the midst of this crossing. God is with you right where you're at right now. In the midst of what life, where you are, where you find yourself in life, he's with you. That leads us to the third thought, the third phase this morning. It's a statement of declaration. Look at it. As they prepared to do something that would be impossible if left to themselves, God spoke to Joshua and Joshua spoke to the people. Notice these words of faith, these words of encouragement, that they are not words that deny a problem or a challenge that's before the people. These are words that say, even though there are enemies and challenges on the other side of the river, even though the river offers a challenge to us, God will help us. Look at it. Verse 6, Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. One other thing God does is God motivates us with promises from his words or promises from his Holy Spirit. God spoke to Joshua. I think back in times in my life where God spoke to me as I was spent time in his word, spent time set aside just with him. God, speak to me over these situations. And there's been times where God spoke so loud, so clearly, scriptures to my life that I hung on to in those seasons. Joshua chapter 3:8 says, tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's river or Jordan waters, go and stand in the river. How many know that doesn't make a whole lot of sense? It's the ark. It's a thing of value. It doesn't float. Verse 9, Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the Lord, that the living God is among you, that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, all these tribes. Verse 11, see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. As soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot into the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. How are you going to know that God is going to help you in the future? Joshua, how are you going to know that? He's the living God. He's the Lord of all the earth. And he's in charge, Joshua. And I would say the same thing to you. He is the living God. He is the Lord of all the earth. And he's in charge. There are two ways that God speaks to us in the face of challenges and difficulties in your life, because we'll face them. Two things God does to help us. One is that we're to rest in the promises of God. God makes a verse. I mean, you're going through your devotion time, you're having a quiet time with God, you open up your scripture someday, some whatever the situation may be, and God takes that verse and he speaks to you, and it just, man, it gets bam, it's just planted within your heart, and you just begin to meditate and chew on that thing through your day. It's like your anchor point. Other times it may be a message that you hear, that message someone's preaching, and it just becomes alive in your heart. I want to encourage you, hang on to those things, meditate upon those things, listen to them over and over again. If it's a message that you've heard preached here, or you heard it on a podcast or on TV or whatever, man, get a hold of that thing and just dial in and tune and let it build up your faith. Go to the gym with that verse or with that message, and just meditate on it and chew on it and let it just build you. Rest in the promises of God. Secondly, remind yourself who God is. What Joshua is doing. In those times when you're overwhelmed, when you're lacking encouragement vocally, you need to lift your voice and praise him that he is the Lord of the earth. Number four. Fourth phase, this is just the supernatural demonstration. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who were carried the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water's edge. The water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away in the town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arab, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. It's interesting typology, not to get into a lot of it this morning, but the Jordan is a symbol of death. And when Jesus Christ died for us, when Jesus died for you, he cut off the flow of death all the way back to Adam so that you could pass into the promised land of Canaan, which in Scripture, Canaan is a type of heaven. And in Joshua chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "So the people crossed over opposite Jericho, and the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground." It's flood stage. It's an impossible situation. They consecrate themselves for 3 days. The priests, in obedience to God, step into the Jordan, right? And the water rolls back, and the ground becomes dry, and 2 million people cross over. Think about that. I think, okay, what do we need to do? And for some of us need to stick our foot in the water of our situation and trust him. Trust him that God is faithful. So we bring this to a close this morning. What's it say to us? I think there's several things that it says, but what are some faith applications for you and I this morning? The first one is this: God has something new he wants to do in your life. God, the awesome thing about God is that God's not a respecter of persons. His eyes are searching for those whose hearts are completely his. And what is it that he wants to do? You don't have a clue? You're like, "Steve, that sounds really great, but what is it? Can I just encourage you to do this? Consecrate yourself. Seek him for 3 days. Seek him over the next 3 days. Consecrate yourself. See what God has to speak to you, because he is a God who speaks. And if we stop and if we listen and we consecrate ourselves and we kind of clear the dial, so to speak, it becomes so easier to hear him and what his plans are. Secondly, God wants us to come to a place of total dependence upon him. Again, Jesus said this: "Apart from me, you can do nothing." That's how Jesus said it, I believe it. I think he said nothing. Can't do nothing, man. God wants us to come to a place of total dependence upon him. I've been a Christian for almost 30 years. Guess what? I'm still learning that. I'm still learning how to be totally dependent upon him. Number three, God wants us to be sensitive to his voice and to be led by it. One of the marks of being spiritually out of tune is that we can't be silent or sit in silence for more than a few minutes and we start getting squirmy. I realize for generations younger than mine, and it doesn't exempt the older, because some of us, there's people that have to have the TV on all the time, even if they're not watching it, because silence bothers them. There's people that they can't have music on because it bothers them. And God wants us to be sensitive to his voice and to be led by it. So I want to encourage you, during the next 3 days, practice some solitude. How many know silence won't kill you? Right? Sin will, but silence won't. Number four, God gives us, or excuse me, I skipped number three, didn't I? Number three is God wants us to be sensitive to his voice. Did I do number three? I need to be silent and listen to myself, huh? Sorry. Number four, God gives us promises to encourage and strengthen our hearts. While you're fasting during the next 3 days, dig, and obviously it goes beyond the next 3 days, but dig into his word. Listen. Listen to what he has to say to you. God gives us promises to encourage and strengthen our hearts. You hang on to those. We've said this over and over through the series. You hang on to those. You speak them. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself. You're driving down the road, and people next to you will be looking at you going, "Oh, they either have the Bluetooth going, they're singing a song, or they're talking to themselves." And just look at them and say, "I'm talking to myself," all right? But you got to speak those promises. Number five, and lastly, if the worship team would come, believe God can do the miraculous. Amen? God is still doing great things. He's still working change. He's still pouring out new mercy morning by morning, day after day after day. He's still working miracles, and he's still blessing people because that's his nature. That is who he is. And today, you're like, you know what? I need a new day. I need a new land. Can I encourage you to consecrate yourself and to step into this time that God has for you? This season where you find yourselves, and ask God, God, what do you need to speak to me? What do you need to do in me? Have your way with me. And when you hear him speak, write it down. Write it down. Let it seep into your heart, but write it down so you can go back to it over and over again and draw strength from it. Would you stand with me? Father God, as we come to a place of responding to your word, just like the children of Israel had opportunity to respond to what Joshua spoke to them for 3 days, get yourself ready. And they had 3 days to prepare themselves, Lord. God, I pray in some ways that this would be a prophetic message for our church, that get yourself ready. I'm getting you ready to step into a new place, a new season, a new time, but you have to get yourself ready. And so, Lord, I pray that we as a body, at Life Point, we would prepare ourselves, that we would own our responsibility to the body and what we have to play or what we have to offer and our role and our function in the body. And Lord, privately, Lord, I just pray for those places that you have for us, each of us, to step. Lord, I know that as we've walked through this message this morning, thoughts have crossed people's minds of situations where they need to step. And they're scared because it's a swollen river. It's a rushing river. And they're afraid that they're going to get swept down if they step there. God, I pray, Lord, that they would have a confidence in the name of Jesus that, Lord, that you're calling them to do something. And you're calling them to respond to the river. God, not in faith, not in fear, but in faith. And to step how you said to step. And so, Lord, as we just take this time before we dismiss, do a deep work in our hearts. Speak to our hearts individually. Speak to us corporately. And God, may we consecrate ourselves. May we commit ourselves. And may we see you demonstrate supernatural ways, Father God, through this season, I pray. This morning, as we worship with a song before we close out, if God has spoken to you through this message and you're like, you know what, man, I need to step in some faith, Steve. Would you pray? Would you pray for me? Maybe the faith you need to step in is you need to step back to Jesus. Maybe at one point in your life you were a follower of Jesus and you stepped away. You've been doing yourself, and this morning you're like, I need to come back. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You never acknowledged your need, and today you're here and you're like, that's where I need to start. I need to start asking God to be my Lord and Savior. Maybe you're a follower of Jesus here today and you're like, you know what? I've been camped in the desert too long. God needs to move me to a new place, spiritually speaking. And I need to be sensitive to what his promptings would be so that I can step in the right path. If you need to respond to the Lord as we sing this song, I would just encourage you to move. The children of Israel moved and they stepped into the river. I encourage you to move to the altar area just as an act of obedience. For yourself, of changing locations. God, I want to change locations and come and allow the Lord to speak to you. Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.